This is a Crib Room podcast.
Hear from Worthy Parts Managing Director Michael Worthington as he chats about what's happening in the workshop.
Well, we look at a date of the 6th of March 2023, and it's a celebration for Worthy Parts, celebrating 9 years in business as Worthy Parts. Now, there's been an evolution over the last few years that's expanded into the Worthy Group, encompassing Worthy Parts, Industry Link Media, and also Boys Equipment Services, which has also just been rebranded over the course of the last week or so to Worthy Engineering. We're on the balcony at 99 Haddon Street with another podcast, and joining us is the Managing Director of the Worthy Group in Michael Worthington. So here we are sitting on the balcony of Worthy Group and the headquarters on Haddon Street in Kalgoorlie-Boulder. The 9th birthday of Worthy Parts, the renaming of Boys Equipment Services to Worthy Engineering, and Michael Worthington is with us to tell us some further details. Michael, it's been a pretty big month for you.
Yeah, massive month for us, but it's been probably a massive 12 months. We've obviously just ticked over the first birthday of Boise / Worthy Engineering with the new rebrand of that, and 9 years since Worthy Parts originally first started. So, you know, all those little milestones are great, but as I sort of mentioned to you previously, the Boise stuff's been a massive 12 months, but it's probably been 3 years in the making before that of us planning everything to get us to this point now.
Talk us through the self-reflection of the last 12 months, because not only did you take on an equipment services provider, Worthy Group emerged as a bit of a parent company, Worthy Parts probably had a bit of a change in direction, albeit slightly, off the back of COVID. There was a lot that sort of went on behind the scenes alongside your footy coaching. Now tell me a little bit more about the last 12 months.
Yeah, well, we've given the footy coaching up for the time being, because when you can't count a number of games that someone plays to qualify for finals, it puts a little bit of pressure on. So we had to put that in the bin for the time being, just put it on hold. But, you know, from a work sense and a work point of view, I'm enjoying what we're doing at the moment. I'm not going to say we always know exactly what we're doing, but we are sort of always trying to plan, you know, 3 years ahead. Generally, I think a lot of people think I'm quite spasmodic with what we do, but we're not. We're always sort of planning things out. We don't know exactly how we're going to get to the final destination, but we know what we're trying to achieve and how we're going to get there in some format.
Now, that's an interesting point, because I know you've raised it on quite a few occasions when you've been speaking at an event or speaking in a podcast format or whatnot, and that is the business plan and the strategy that you have. You're not a sort of guy who comes off the cuff. The amount of thought and process that goes into it is quite phenomenal. Just take us inside that thought process for us today, because it's not one that Michael Worthington just all of a sudden has an idea and acts. It's a bit more than that.
Yeah, so I suppose the easiest way for me to sort of explain it, and when I've been at these events, I basically say we're not in it for a short-term gain. We're not doing it for the short term. We've got a plan in our head, and as I said, we don't exactly always know how to get there and do that and execute it. But I mean, predominantly the idea of what we do is buying, selling, sourcing, remarketing. Obviously, we've added a service division into that now as well, which is all part of that whole solution of where we're trying to get to and achieve what we need to achieve. So whilst the idea may have changed slightly from working, you know, in a small office with an online platform, we're still pretty much doing that, but we've just got all these extra services added onto it. So the business model that I wrote 10 years ago, whilst it may have changed in the way that we've got there, it hasn't changed that much. It was just the fact I didn't realise that we'd be doing all these things in between to make the sale happen.
And how does that work from a business planning point of view? How do you go about those sorts of changes? Do you just make them yourself, or do you do your research? Do you talk to different people who are in the industry? I suppose a bit of consultation that happens.
Yeah, massively. We've got business advisors, we've got lawyers, you know, our accounts. We've got a few different accountants that we bounce off. Internally, the team, you know, I've probably got, you know, maybe a dozen different touch points within the business now of people that I go to and find out where we're sort of getting bottlenecked a bit. I'm always trying to get advice from, you know, anyone. And then once I've sort of listened to their ideas, then I'll go back and try and work out, you know, how to achieve it or what we need to achieve. So it's not it's not always just my idea. It's a lot of different data points coming into one before we work out how to get there.
So over the last 12 months, we've evolved Boys Equipment Services. It's now been renamed into Worthy Engineering. What does that mean for the business internally?
Internally, I just think it helps us straighten us up a little bit from that culture point of view. I'm still trying to get to know everyone down there at Boise's. You know, I think we've got about 70 staff within the Boise business now. I think there was probably 50 on the day that we took it over. So I'm still actually trying to learn a lot of people's names down there and get to know them all. With it being now under the Worthy Group banner, I feel like it can sort of bring us a bit closer together, get everyone down at Worthy Engineering, or Boise's as it was known, to get to know who we are as people. We're on a bit of a recruiting drive at the moment. We're looking for some more genuine A-grade people and personalities that want to come on board to a growing business that want to really sort of take this thing to the next level.
How does that go from your people management? Because you've gone from probably 30-odd people down to a group of about 100. So that's quite a dramatic change in 12 months. Managing that, as you mentioned, you're still not quite there with names, but I suppose when you've got the strategy to push you forward, it's all about that sort of strategy which helps drive the rest of your chain.
Yeah, I think that's probably the key thing, is that strategy, making sure that we've got that strategy and then putting a structure in place to help implement that strategy. We've got some good people. It's not me running this whole business. I'm hovering across the top of all those people who are in charge to run it. The Worthy side, we've always had a good team, a good core group of team at Worthy's who have always driven us and pushed us to that next level. On the Boise or Worthy Engineering side now, we've got a good guy in there who's been there for a bit over 12 months in Ryan Partington. Very switched on individual, very emotionally intelligent, very smart business head. He's got some good ex-OEM experience. He's got some great contacts in the industry. We're now starting to pull from some of his contacts and his database. We've just picked up Sean Maroney. He's a fantastic pickup. Judd Carmichael is helping us with the Perth branch now as well. So some key guys like that who are going to help drive us to that next level.
And when it comes to recruitment, it's such a balance at the moment right across the market. Everybody's screaming for people. You don't have to go too far to see a business looking for someone. How do you go about that for Worthy Group and for your different businesses?
Worthy Group, well, let's start with Worthy Parts. Worthy Parts has always been a funny one because I've always sort of handpicked everyone from within the Worthy Parts business, and I've generally picked on personality and then tried to train accordingly. Or, you know, if there were some good people that we already knew were trained up and good personalities, then we'd definitely try and drag them into the mix. The Worthy Engineering side now, obviously you're moving into a services-based business, so it's a lot harder to try and attract people, I suppose, because it's a different core. You're looking for trades-based people, and obviously we know the market's tight for trades-based people as well. So that's probably our biggest challenge at the moment. And I know that's a challenge that everyone is facing. But look, we're going to have some sort of strategies around that over the next coming months of how to not only attract but retain people and build that culture. And once that culture is really sort of set, hopefully it feeds itself.
So, Michael, where does that leave the Worthy Group? Just explain where each of the businesses work in regards to working with each other for clients.
So the Worthy Group's more about solutions in the mining industry. So Worthy Engineering, aka Boise as it was known, that was just predominantly services based. We all know what they do, you know, mechanics, line borers, boiler makers, auto electricians, machine rebuilds and componentry. Where we different, Worthy Parts is more about solutions for our clients and what they're looking for. They're obviously looking to sell a lot of redundant stock, which we're heavily involved in the redundant stock. We are consistently working with our suppliers, our customers all the time with what they're looking for. The Worthy Engineering side now gives us scope to be able to find a solution, and then we can value add to it and sell it to them in the condition that they want it in. At the end of the day, I think they've been predominantly known down there for a lot of underground Caterpillar gear, but Worthy Parts, we sort of don't discriminate. We buy and sell anything and everything. At the end of the day, I'm not going to say that we get everything right and we're efficient at everything at the moment, but we're willing to have a crack and look at different supply chains. The market dictates what machine's popular. We don't dictate it.
The asset disposal part of the business, how's that been going in the last couple of years, especially with supply chain issues that have been happening around the world?
Yeah, I mean, our asset disposal probably drives a lot of our business, the way that we go out and try and offer a holistic solution, even now that we've added a small freight division to what we do as well. And that's purely to make our life a lot easier to go up and clean these mine sites up and, you know, go out there, look at their stores, redundant stock, their redundant machines, and basically don't discriminate and try and go out there and offer a package to come in, clean and buy everything, or offer a consignment option, and whatever that is, however it looks like. Each different mine site is a different solution every single time.
You've also started that worldwide travel trend again, which is part of the business previous to COVID. This was getting out there and touching and feeling, I suppose, some of the machines, because in the US they do things a little bit differently, don't they?
Yeah, the industry is actually a lot smaller than people probably give it credit for. We've been doing it for a while now. We're only just really starting to, you know, get our name out there, but you'll find that everyone knows everyone after a little while. You know, once you've been doing this for, you know, 10 years or so, everyone sort of knows you in the industry. I'm massive on our team traveling, getting out there, meeting people face to face. It's not always the same person who travels all the time. Whilst, as I said before, we hold a little bit of our own stock, but predominantly we're buying and selling out of other people's backyards, and we're consistently looking for other solutions and other opportunities to buy certain machines that we can't find in our backyard. So yeah, look, big part of our model has always been getting your face out there and going to meet people face to face as much as you can. COVID put the brakes on that for a little bit, but at the end of the day, now that's been released, you know, we're hitting the ground running.
You went to Bormer in Germany last year. How was it to get back and get feet on the ground in another country, start reacquainting yourself with the industry?
I think there was about four of us that went over to Bormer, and you're not walking all around together. There's so much to do and so much to see. You're trying to attack so many people in the one area over that 4 or 5 day period, and you only scratch the surface of it, really. So we've got a lot of events coming up this year as well. There's 3 or 4 different events throughout the North America and Canada and the like. So we've just had Patrick. He's just come back from the US last week. But now we've got some guys going over there for ConExpo as well next week.
What have you seen in the industry in regards to some trends that have emerged probably since COVID? I mean, we spoke about some global supply issues, but what does that sort of mean for the future? And what do you see the next up to 5 years look like for the industry?
5-year outlook's pretty tough. I mean, I can't see it slowing down as it currently is at the moment for what we do, but you never know. You know, we didn't see COVID coming either. So, look, at the end of the day, I've probably heard maybe a little bit of exploration is going quiet at the moment, but that could be anything to do with, you know, financial reports coming out and everyone just trying to put the brakes on things before end of financial, before they go again. But, look, I mean, with what we do as a parts reseller, machinery reseller, we're probably finding at the moment that if you've got the parts, you'll generally sell it, or if you've got the good stock, you will sell it. You know, it's getting reasonable dollars for what it is at the moment if you've got some good condition gear. Look, it's not always going to be like that. I feel like we've been in this for a little while, and just when there is a bit of a dip, it's not that people don't buy and sell things, it's just that their expectations on what they'll pay for things at the time just need to be adjusted, and that's the same with the labour market as well. Whilst people command, you know, what they're getting from an hourly rate point of view at the moment, I think once it takes a bit of a dip, markets need adjusting and labour rates need adjusting at that point, and that's where you just need to have a bit of a hard conversation.
There's a lot of people who have started their own business in the last few years, especially, believe it or not, on the back of COVID. But what sort of advice do you give to those guys who have just purchased their first toolbox to put on the back of their ute and they're going out doing a bit of contract work? Revisit Michael Worthington 9 years ago and some advice that you'd pass on to a future Michael Worthington who wants to get into the industry and wants to start their own business.
I mean, at the end of the day, good luck to, you know, everyone who's going contracting at the moment. I think they've seen that times are pretty good, but they just need to understand that times are probably not always going to be great. So as long as you've got a little bit of an exit strategy, or even if it's not an exit strategy, if all one word of advice that I can give to people or whatnot is just don't burn bridges. You know what I mean? Don't go in too hot and too heavy-handed. And, you know, while times are good, times are good. And when times are bad, you just want to still have some good relationships with people that are willing to bring you back on board when times aren't so good. Whilst we think it's quite a large industry, people talk and you know, and however that is, I know people get frustrated and everything like that, but I just say, you know, don't burn bridges and go from there. You should be right.
Michael, let's reflect on 9 years of Worthy Parts, and I guess it sort of crept up on you, this sort of anniversary, to see just exactly where you've got to with the Worthy Parts portion of the business. But, you know, how does that feel that 9 years has come around? You're almost at those double figures since you sat down at your kitchen table to put things together.
Yeah, to be honest, it's gone pretty quick. Everyone sort of asks about, you know, success, and you must be pretty happy with your success. And I'm always like, well, what does success actually mean? At what point do you define success? At the moment, I just feel busy, and what we're doing now is, you know, put the right people in place, and it's feeding itself, and we're just trying to steer the ship. So I'm just enjoying the ride, or trying to enjoy the ride, or trying to enjoy a bit of work-life balance as much as I can, trying to switch off on the weekends.
How does that work-life balance for you? Because I know we spoke about footy before. There was a, you know, just trying to use an outlet where previously footy was your outlet via playing. That sort of probably took a bit of a back seat last year, and it was just more a coaching role. But where does the work-life balance work, and how does it work for Michael Worthington?
Yeah, so footy has always been my outlet, footy or cricket or sport or anything like that. And, you know, a couple of back operations over the last couple of years has sorted me out from playing. So I've got to try and do something else, because everyone likes to keep telling me how fat I am. So I got to do some things in the morning. I need a little bit of me time in the morning, generally sitting up on the balcony here and having a coffee, or, as I said before, we bought Boise's. I was sitting at Monty's for a couple of years having a coffee in the morning, trying to have a bit of me time. So, yeah, generally Monday to Friday, I'm trying to do something myself in the morning, you know, to try and clear the head a little bit, and then try and have the weekends off as much as I can to tick all that box at home and, yeah, see how we go there.
And you've got a busy family life too, so no doubt you're being dragged through netball or basketball or all sorts of different other bits and pieces that the family's involved in.
Yeah, so I think that's the best thing about me and Jamie, is as mad as I am with my sport and work and everything like that, she's just as mad on the other side, and we've got a sort of mutual respect for each other in that regard, you know, between all the coaching that she does from basketball and netball and the like. So that's why I can't really afford to sort of fill my weekends up with too much more stuff these days. I can fill it up Monday to Friday with work, and then the weekends I've probably just got to play a bit of a supporting role for her.
Where is the next 12 months or 3 years for Worthy Group? What do you see just around the corner?
Yeah, a few big things that we've got in the planning stage at the moment. Like, there's a few other business models that we'll add to the mix, but don't want to drop anything about them just yet, because, as I said, they're still just in the planning stage. We are obviously looking at different yards and sheds and whatnot for what we do. I feel like we can start providing some real holistic solutions with that Worthy Group modelling. So there is, yeah, definitely going to be some proposals that we put together to some mine sites over the next coming months, and hopefully with what we offer as a business unit there, we can sort of service a few people's needs.
Managing Director with the Worthy Group, Michael Worthington, with what has been a busy couple of weeks and a very interesting last 12 months or so. Don't forget to subscribe to the Industry Link Media Crib Room podcasts, because that's the way that you'll ensure that you get to know. As soon as a podcast drops, you'll get a notification. Thanks for joining us on a Crib Room podcast.
The Crib Room series of podcasts are produced by Industry Link Media. Subscribe to podcasts via your audio platform and via industrylinkmedia.com. This is a Crib Room podcast.